A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on August 1, 1993, entitled Memories with a Future. The scripture readings are Psalm 137, Genesis 9, verses 8 through 17, and 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26. The texts for the sermon are Genesis 9, verse 13, and 1 Corinthians 2, verses 24 through 25. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
I have a new book. It's entitled The Care of the Soul by Thomas More. It is a recent publication, and it has made the bestseller list, I think, which is unusual for a book about the care of the soul. Thomas More is not writing necessarily from a Christian perspective. I don't know really where he stands there, but he is writing about the malaise of the 20th century human person whose soul lacks depth, or who is rather soulless, and therefore gets caught up in all kinds of addictions and obsessions and violence, and has no depth dimension to his or her person. He's a psychologist, but he says no longer can we afford the luxury of a bifurcation between psychology as a secular science and spirituality as a religious dimension. That really the health of the human person involves that depth dimension of soul, and we must care for our souls. And one of the things he suggests is that we simply must observe, pay attention to, attend to our lives, our soul, our moods, just what's happening in us, and our responses and our attitudes, our spirit. And he makes an interesting connection with our celebration this morning, because he speaks of ritual observances. And he notes that the word observance has within it serve, S-E-R-V, which in the original from which the word is derived had to do with the tending of sheep. And so an observance is really a tending of the dimensions of the soul. And then he says it is important that we engage in ritual observances, that ritual observances have a way of forming us in the depths. And when I read that, I realized that half of me which is so underdeveloped. I am about 98% head. I am always thinking, and I am always trying to understand. And that's a reflection of my tradition, which has nurtured me in biblical story and faith meaning, the catechism, the structure of the faith. And in recent years, I have been recognizing that there was a sacramental dimension to Christian experience that was not well developed for me, and I've been groping for that. To find that depth dimension, that it doesn't denigrate the mind, it doesn't eliminate the importance of understanding, but it bypasses the mind and gets to the heart and to the primal core of our being. That's what ritual does. We have never done ritual very well. My whole tradition, my whole experience has not had an appreciation for the shaping, the spiritual formation of ritual observances. And as I reflected on that, I thought, That is what we are about. When we come to gather around the table of our Lord, we have tried so hard to understand the relationship of bread to body and wine to blood, and what actually happens. What is that transaction of bread and wine to us, received in faith and in the Spirit? And I recognize again my flaw, which is always trying to understand rather than being able somehow or other to turn this off momentarily and experience, and in that ritual observance to be shaped and formed. And then I came across a phrase that became a window for me. Really a wonderful illuminating moment. One would think at this advanced age that one had thought every thought possible and come across every possible combination of explanation of what this experience is all about. But when I read this phrase from Walter Brueggemann in one of his Old Testament studies, memories with the future, suddenly that juxtaposition of words just struck fire for me. Memories with a future. Sometimes words juxtaposed, put together in an unusual fashion, can bring flashes of illumination. We think of memory, of course. Memory of the past. Memories of pleasure or of pain. And we think of the future, which we move toward with anticipation, either of desire or of hope or of dread. But to think about memories with a future, suddenly I said, that's what happens in the sacrament when Jesus invites us to remember Him. And in that remembering, to experience His presence and to appropriate again that future that He promised us. Suddenly, past and future intersect this present moment in the sacramental participation. Memories with a future. Now, memory can be employed negatively. In the opening verses of Psalm 137, we certainly can identify with the exile from Jerusalem, a captive in Babylon, his tormentors saying, "Sing us a song of Zion." And he says, "My heart is broken. How can I sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" And then, "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem." However, that triggers in him a response of vengeance. Were you surprised that I read the psalm through to the end? Where he would delight in having the little ones dashed against a rock? Certainly, a wholly unworthy emotion. Amazed, perhaps, that it should even come to expression in the Scripture. Ah, but a human emotion, very common, and of which we are all capable, twist the soul, oppress, torment. And there is that response, vengeful, hateful. Our own world today, Bosnia-Herzegovina, those ancient feuds, becoming the alignment of religious group against religious group. The Middle East, Israel, Lebanon, Syria, Jew, Muslim. Psalm 137 causes us to cringe at the image of little ones dashed against a rock. We recognize that it is a part of us, but it is also a destructive, self-destructive use of memory. There is a positive use of memory, and that is that to which Jesus pointed when he said, "Take this bread, remember me. Take this cup, remember me, till I come." The old communion liturgy had all of those dimensions in it, a feast of remembrance, of communion in the present, and of hope. The sacrament is the intersection of the past and the future, in the present moment of participation, and the participation, the ritual observance, repeated, repeated, repeated. In my tradition, in my growing up, I was taught that that was ritualism. And what my tradition and what I never recognized was that it is in that very repetitious observance that I am shaped down here. And we become a community shaped around the memory that has a future, the memory of Jesus, the way he was, the life he lived, the death he suffered, the resurrection he experienced, and the shalom to which he calls us. The memory for the future. The past event always aimed toward that consummation of all things, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. God's people have always been nurtured by signs, by ritual observances. The earliest sign in the biblical narrative is the rainbow. After the flood, a judgment on a perverse world, on creation gone awry, the Creator says, "Never again. Never again." The change was not in human nature. The change was not in the creation. The change was in the Creator. "Never again," God says. "Never again will I destroy. Never again, never again. And I enter into covenant faithfulness with all the earth and with every living creature." This is the earliest covenant. This covenant is broader than the covenant with Abraham. This is the covenant of God with the whole of creation. God saying, "I will never abandon it. I will never let it go. And I will set my bow in the cloud. And when you see my bow in the cloud, I will see the bow and I will remember and you will know that I will be faithful." Isaiah 54, reference to Noah and the bow. And then the prophet sings, "The mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love will not depart from you. The covenant of my peace will not be removed, says the Lord who has mercy upon you." The rainbow triggered in the poet the deep assurance of the steadfast love and faithfulness of God. Some of you know that a little over a month ago, I conducted the funeral service for a beautiful little angel, 21 months old. And the reason that I conducted the service at the Spring Lake Presbyterian Church was the fact that Reverend Anderson is new there and didn't really know the family. And the grandmother of the little child, whose name was Paige, was a childhood friend of Nancy, and they continue friends to this day. And we have become friends as couples, and the mother of the little child is a school friend of Lynn. Because of our intimate connection with the family, I was asked to do the service. And so I met with the family the day before the funeral, the couple, and they manifested remarkable faith and trust in God. They live in Wisconsin, where little 21-month-old Paige scooted away as a child will in a moment, got through an open gate of a neighbor's pool and under the solar cover, and died. They had a service in their own community, but because of their connections here, they wanted a service here too. And so as I sat with them, they told me about their trip from Wisconsin to Grand Haven. It was a Saturday night. In fact, it was June 26. And on that Saturday evening, as they drove in their van with a casket on board, they drove into a rainbow. The rainbow arched the highway. And their little 7-year-old daughter, Megan, who is a bit of a mystic, who knew long before the doctors knew that her mommy was carrying twins, said, "Look, Paige is painting rainbows." And for a moment there was a double rainbow, as though a second for the twin. And they told me this story and asked me about the connection with this biblical story. And I said to them, it is the oldest sign in creation of the faithfulness of God. And I used it for the funeral meditation, the sign of God's covenant faithfulness in the midst of their loss and pain, that God would be with them and was with them. The sign of a rainbow, which forever after for them will trigger a memory that has a future. Last evening I called Ron and Patrice France to tell them that I would tell that story, and wanting them to know as they came to worship this morning. Because just before Elise Joy died just under a year last fall, having been born a twin with her sister Lee and having complications, but developing into a blooming, delightful child, her own person, just before she died, with no premonition at the time that she would die, Patrice took the two girls in her arms to the window of their home overlooking Lake Michigan, where there was a beautiful rainbow. And Patrice said to me, "Is that a sign?" And I said, "That is a sign." And I used the scripture for Elise Joy's celebration of life. And then Patrice said to me, "I cannot believe that you called. We were just talking about you." In a rather emotional weekend at an annual conference where Elise had been with them last year, they experienced the loss of her presence this year with people who hadn't known that she had died, and therefore all of the freshness of that loss was brought to the surface again. And then on the way home, stopped at the cemetery for the first time to see the gravestone. And there was something about the stone that they wanted to ask me about, so they had been talking about me. And then I said, well, this is why I'm calling. And then Patrice said, can I tell you one more thing? Not an hour ago, Lee went to the box that still has Elise's toys and took out a music box and brought it to me. And I wound it up. And it began to play Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Does God send God's angels to sustain and keep us? Does God keep God's promises of steadfast love and faithfulness? Every time Ron and Patrice, or Sarah and Maury, whose twins were born near each other in time, both of which now have one treasure in heaven, every time they see a rainbow, they'll have a memory that will bring tears. But through the tears will shine a hope that sees beyond the years to that time when we shall be gathered all together in the presence of the Lord. For Jesus said, remember me and know that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Because I live, you too shall live. And the seer on the Isle of Patmos had a vision in which he saw a new heaven and a new earth and the dwelling of God with God's people. And he said, behold, I make all things new. I will wipe every tear from your eye, and there shall be no more crying, nor pain, nor death anymore, for the former things have passed away. And this morning, you are invited to take bread and cup and to remember. But that memory of that one in our past has a future of the time when we shall be gathered at the banquet table of our Lord. Come then. The Master is here and calls for you. All things are ready.